Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Saying those kind of things when he wants to come in and learn, it's players are like everybody else. You're flattered when people ask you advice. You're more than happy to share it. You know, you're more than it makes you feel like a wise person. You know, it feels like you've got something to offer that nobody else appreciates. When you get asked for advice, it's a great compliment. And I think most players feel that way. And I think these veterans are really, I think it goes a long way towards making the group a close-knit group. And it also, when you get advice from a veteran player, you use the advice and it works for you, the level of trust in the locker room goes up and up and up. And it creates a bond between players and across the line of scrimmage that really does, in the long run, help you win games. I think that's what you got to remember, that this is all about, is trying to win games.
And it also says to me, Steve, the last point I'll make is I'm listening to Gabriel Davis and I'm hearing a confident guy. Like, usually the guys who talk the most and make it the most about them usually are the guys maybe that aren't quite as confident. When you're coming in and acquiescing to a culture, and when you're as confident as you can say, you know, I'm here because I want to raise my level of play to carry these guys on my back at some point, but I'm also willing to learn from what they have to say. That says maturity and confidence to me. So man, these three sound bites that I was excited about Gabriel Davis based on what I'd read from some of the recaps of camp. I hear these sound bites, I'm even more excited.
Absolutely. And he seems like he's a guy who puts himself in a position at least to be ready to contribute, even if he's not called upon because of the depth at the position. Another guy on the list is also sixth round pick, Isaiah Hodgins. Now, Hodgins is, along with Gabe Davis, two rookies coming in. We had John Brown on a week ago, and he said these two rookies have done a better job of digesting an NFL playbook than any two rookies John Brown's ever been around. Isaiah Hodgins was asked about that by the Western New York media, and here's what Hodgins, the Buffalo Bills sixth-round draft pick wide receiver, had to say about digesting an NFL playbook. He said this today right after practice.
Yeah, first, you know, going through the combine process and draft process, you know, you're kind of, you know, intimidated by it and you think, you know, it's going to be like the worst thing ever and you'll never pick it up. But it's really hasn't been too bad. And I think, you know, all the rookies have done very well and I think the coaches have done very well to take, you know, all those Zoom over the whole offseason and really helping us. And, you know, that was a big help for me. And, you know, I feel like I know the playbook pretty well right now. And, you know, that's just a credit to coaches, the players, the vets, and everyone who's been helping us out.
Yeah, and it's also, too, because you get into this, and so many of these young players are so good at the lower levels that the playbook was structured around them and their talents. I mean, they didn't have to learn anything. A lot of them didn't have to learn the amount of things they have to learn, even philosophically, even technique-wise. They're just so good physically that at the lower levels they stood out because of those physical gifts. And when you see, like, Isaiah Hodgins, even on the NFL practice field, you go out on the practice field, I call him Ike. I don't even know if anybody calls him Ike. I'm calling him Ike. Ike Hodgins stands out. The guy is all a 6'3". He's the tallest wide receiver on the roster. He's athletic. He looks great in his uniform. He's one of those guys getting off the bus. It's like, wow, that's your wide receiver? Wow, you guys must be really good. He's that kind of guy. He stands out in the room. And so to have a guy like that come in, a lot of times guys with those kind of gifts, size, strength, and speed, they're kind of like, you know, I'm good enough. You know, I don't really need it. And Hodgins and Gabe Davis have not taken that attitude at all. They know that there's a lot to learn. They know that they've got to get into the playbook. They know there's techniques, formations, route running thoughts that they have to get in and get down before they can even think about being on the football field. And it's really neat to see these guys understand, A, not only that there is a lot to learn, but B, knowing that if they don't learn it, their career is not going to get off to the kind of start they wanted to get off on. So kudos to these two young guys for knowing, being humble enough to know that as good as they have been in their careers, they got a lot to learn.
Steve, I want to be really careful with what I'm going to do here because I hate making comparisons. So forgive forget that I'm comparing these guys as individuals. But in the course of having this conversation, I'm just quickly going through some of the Bills draft classes from the mid-80s. And I'm looking at Frank Reich as a third-round pick, Andre Reed's a fourth-round pick, Mark Pike, seventh-round pick, Leon Seals, fourth-round, Keith McKellar, ninth round, House Ballard, 11th round, Jeff Wright, eighth round. Yeah. The point that I'm trying to make, and I'm not trying to draw the comparison between this team and the teams that you played on, but the point that I'm trying to make is great teams are made when you can hit on guys in later rounds. And so will Hodgins even make the team? I have no idea. It certainly sounds like Gabriel Davis is going to make the team. I know Devin Singletary's made the team. When you're nailing these middle round picks, man, the value of that for so many reasons is great. And so I'm encouraged to hear everything about this rookie class because it sounds like another really good one.
Absolutely. And you've got to find these guys. And some of it is economics. We've talked about how teams now are signing these guys to these big deals. And teams, at least from their actions, don't really seem concerned about the cap shrinking next year. They can certainly roll over whatever cap room they have this year, and maybe we'll see some economic decisions made later in training camp as they release guys and get some cap space, that kind of thing. And I don't think keeping these young rookies is all about the economics of them being on their rookie contract. Certainly you can make the case for quarterbacks and those kind of things and those positions where when they do get their second contract, it is going to be a hit on the cap. Matt Milano, he's not going to break the bank, even if he's the top paid player at his position. Same thing with Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, the safeties, defensive tackles. Some of these, they're not going to make $25 million a year. Now, corners and quarterbacks, safeties, I guess now maybe get into that. Wide receivers can make that argument. Not too many other players in the league can say, "Hey, I need $22 million a year." Or you're not going to get my services. The salary cap has become seemingly a formality, even in a year when it's going to go down. So you get these young players in here, they're making the team and contributing because they're good football players, not because it's some economic choice. And if you can get better, and when these guys make the team, it's because somebody else couldn't. They played better than somebody else. They're not keeping these guys because they're cheap. Sometimes you can make that argument, but this regime doesn't have to make any of those decisions. They're financially secure. They got plenty of cap room. They can, like the buzz guy that's going around about an economic cut is Trent Murphy. He's going to make $7 or $8.5 million this year, and everything's, wow, I don't know if he's worth $8.5 million. They don't care. They can keep him. Sean McDermott does not have to make salary cap decisions at cut down day. Now, they can, and they may, but they're not backed into a corner with $20 million of cap space. These guys are making the team because they're good enough to make the team. And that's why this team, after 3 years of this regime, is sitting on the precipice of being one of those teams that's like, man, these guys are going to win the division. These guys are going to win double-digit game. They were in the playoffs last year. They're better this year. That's the reason, is because they don't back themselves into a corner where they say, well, we got to cut Starlo Tulele, and we got to cut Trent Murphy, we got to cut what other player because of salary cap reasons. They are not at that point because everything else is working so well. So these young players who are making the team, they're making it because they're good enough to make it, not because the team wants to get rid of some high-priced guy who perhaps is not quite living up to his contract. And that's been the real difference, I think, in this organization, and staying inside the lines financially, giving themselves the freedom to keep the best players no matter what they cost. I think that's a fun place to be.
How refreshing is that, Steve, right? I mean, it's a product of putting yourself in this situation by some of the moves that they made a few years ago, by getting rid of guys who, like Marcell Dareus, didn't work out. You know what? That was a tough pill to swallow at the time. Yeah. And but you know, you think the franchise is better now after making that move, or Sammy Watkins too? So again, I'm not part of the PR department with the team, but there aren't too many moves that I haven't been on board with. I think the front office has done a tremendous job.
Yeah, I agree with you. Here we are. We're still asking you, our listeners and our viewers as well on MSG, what does Josh need to do to silence the critics in 2020? We'll read a little more from the tweet sheet coming back. Maybe we'll get to some NFL true-false in the next half hour. We're also got What Have We Learned coming up also in the next half hour. Steve Tasker and Kevin Connors coming at you from One Bills Drive. This is One Bills Live, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Kevin Connor here with you until the top of the hour, 3 o'clock. Got a lot going on the show. Had a lot of sound bites from Isaiah Hodgins and also from Gabe Davis. We also had Kim Jones from NFL Network on the show. And we also asked you, our listeners, what Josh has to do to silence the critics in 2020. What kind of season does he have to have? What kind of season do the Bills have to have? What do you think has to happen for Josh to be above all the criticism he has taken during his career so far? But it's time now for NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. All right, Kevin, I know you're probably not familiar with this, but here's how it works. I'm going to read a statement, and you can put it into context in any way you want, but say if it's true or is it false. It's pretty simple, straightforward. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, here we go. NFL true false number one. The NFL should pump crowd noise into stadiums. Actually, it's a pretty good thing for you to ask you. You're in the broadcast industry just like I am. What do you think? Should they pump that into the stadiums? Now, this is not the broadcast. This is into the stadiums. Right. What do you think? Should they do that or not? True false?
I'm in favor of it to a point. I will tell you, I'm not a fan of the virtual fans, which we've seen on some broadcasts. You know, the computer generated images of quote unquote people. The audio, I'm okay with, though. Steve, I'm also okay with hearing what it's like on an NFL field. You know, you lived it. You know what it's like. I don't. So for me, it brings me even more into the game than I have been in the past. But I will acknowledge that especially in the NFL, if there's a big touchdown and it's kind of quiet or it's just the sideline, maybe you do need that. So I will say in this case, true.
I would say it's an interesting question, really, because the curiosity I have over what it's going to sound like without fans in this moment kind of outweighs going, you know, doing it fake. You know, but here's the thing. After about two games, I might be okay. I'm done with it. I wish the fans were there. You know what I mean? So for right now,
right,
I'm
yes.
with you. I'm really curious as to what it's going to sound like with no fans in the stands. I want to hear the ambient yelling and screaming that goes on. The offensive line calls, the defensive line calls, the secondary yelling coverages, the quarterback, of course, that we can hear, you know, a lot of times anyway. But I'm really interested to hear what it is like when it is quiet in the stadium. I want to hear what that game sounds like. Not only that, but you're going to hear sideline yells too. You're going to hear the noise, what happens after a tackle, and those guys get up jawing at each other. And it probably won't be fit for broadcast. And you know what I mean? I mean, they're going to get some of that too. They'll get some words in there that – you know, you shouldn't get in. But I'm way into that. I'm way into letting this game be stripped down to its essentials and seeing if it can hold water, you know, hold my attention. I don't like hockey that way. I've watched some hockey games, and it's like, it's not that great. You know, I miss the crowd, but I do want to see some NFL games. And I don't think there's any reason to pump it in for the players into the stadium. Yeah. On the broadcast, you can sprinkle it in. Nobody has to know. But on the field for the players, don't waste your time. They don't need, they practice every day with no fans. They played at lower levels of football with no fans. There's no need for it for the players. So pumping it into the stadium, no, that's false. You don't need to pump that into the stadium. The broadcast, that's another story. But I'm really interested to see this game broken down to its essentials. I want to hear it when it's silent. I think it'd be. I think it's really going to be interesting to hear that. Not normal, but really interesting. So that's my take. I think it's. I think it's false. They should not. Yeah, you should not pump crowd noise into the stadiums. All right, NFL true false number two. The Dolphins, out of all eight teams who finished last in their division last year, the Dolphins have the best chance to go from worst to first. True or false?
I'd have to dig in and look at the standings and see every other team.
Here we go. It's Miami. In the AFC, it's Miami, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and the Chargers. And in the NFC side, it's Washington, Detroit, Carolina, and Arizona.
I'm going to say false. I don't think the Dolphins are there where some of those other teams are yet. The Teddy Bridgewater story, by the way, is going to be a fascinating one to keep an eye on in Carolina. But I will tell you this, Steve. It's sacrilegious to say this, but I like what the Dolphins have done. I mean, they went out and they spent money on guys. They were aggressive in free agency, and I really like Flores. And, you know, for as bad as they were at the start of last year, go back and look at the numbers to how they finished up the second half of the year. The Dolphins were a totally different team. They were a competitive team the second half of the season last year. So I'm not sure that they're as good as some of the other teams that you mentioned, but they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think you go back and look at where, you know, they finished 5-4 in this last nine games of their season last year. And that's about right for a new head coach, new defense, new philosophy. And they also had to go through addition by subtraction. Remember, Minkah Fitzpatrick all of the things that happened with the Dolphins roster. They went through some of the same stuff that the Buffalo Bills had to go through with Marcell Dareus and Sammy Watkins and those kind of players. So when they kind of started to do that, and the players and the culture and the locker room decided, hey, this is not going anywhere. We got to start doing better, and we're going forward this way. Things started to turn around, and there's your, you know, part of your answer where does culture win games? Well, Brian Flores instilling that culture, and it took a long time to do it, but when things started to change, they changed for the better, and they won five out of the last nine games. So I'm kind of with you. I don't think they're there yet. In fact, if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say false to that. I'm going to say the best team that has a chance to go from worst to first, I would say it's more about Jacksonville than it is the Dolphins. Jacksonville with Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Houston. For this reason, Houston is not going to be the same team this year. DeAndre Hopkins makes too big a difference on that team. J.J. Watt is now an old pass rusher. And DeAndre Hopkins is gone. Deshaun Watkins is not going to have that same offense around him that he did a year ago. They are going to struggle. And then you look down the rest of that division with Tennessee. I've long said Ryan Tannehill is going to be closer to what he was in Miami than what he was last half of last season. I don't think he's going to carry that team. I don't think he's going to complete 70% of his passes throughout a 16-game season for the Tennessee Titans. Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers. I love Frank Reich. He's a friend of mine. And I think they're going to be better. And they may be a team that keeps Jacksonville from going. I think they're the team that may keep Jacksonville from going from worst to first. But I think that division with so many question marks with the other three teams, I think Jacksonville could, if Gardner Minshew turns into something other than what we think he is, and their defense does step up and Doug Marrone can keep it together down there, I think it's because of the rest of the division that Jacksonville has a chance maybe to hang in there and get to the top. And in the NFC, I think maybe Washington. You know, maybe Washington has a chance to catch lightning in a bottle with a new, kind of a new attitude down there and the name change and all that. The Cowboys got a new head coach. Washington's got a new head coach. The Giants have a new head coach. And Philadelphia Eagles, that's the team. I mean, if Philadelphia Eagles stumbles in any way, shape, or form, if their quarterback, who Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz can't get it done, you know, who else is going to win that division? Why not Washington? Maybe they do catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe Dwayne Haskins is a little better than we thought he was. Maybe they do have the reason to have faith in him with the guys who see him every day. So we'll see. But, Miami Dolphins, I think we saw where they were headed maybe at the second half of last year, but I don't think you can say they're the team that is ready for that yet. Certainly they have some pieces in place, no question, but we'll see. I think those other two teams in Jacksonville and perhaps in Washington have a better chance to do it. Steve Tasker along with Kevin Connors. We've got one more segment left in the show. We've got What Did We Learn coming up right after the break. One Bills Live on Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back. What Did We Learn? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. NFL Network's Kim Jones was on our show today. She's been watching the Buffalo Bills in the last couple of days, and she had this to say about how the Bills looked during practice.
It felt like I was watching a team that's been together longer than it has. And to me, that the only way to look at that is obviously a very good sign. I mean, this looks like a group where some veterans as well as some rookies took the virtual period very seriously. It looks like a team that knows it can be good. And what I say when I say that, I mean the way they carry themselves. You just kind of watch a team and say, these guys could be onto something. And then there are other teams you can watch where you say, this team could really have some growth moments this year. So I look at the Bills as a team that looks, in my opinion, for August 25th, in this year in particular, it looks pretty fine-tuned to me.
That was Kim Jones of NFL Network talking to us earlier in the program. You can go back and listen to that on the Bills app or BuffaloBills.com. Thanks again, too, to Kevin Connors, who's going to join me again tomorrow, noon to 3, as co-host. Kevin, we started out the show with a little Q&A. You had all these questions about old Bills guys. You know, you grew up with those Bills teams on Long Island. You were a pilgrim in an unholy land as a Bills fan. And he had all these questions. We'll pick that up. I'll give you a chance to ask some more questions of an old guy tomorrow. And I want to ask you what you tell young broadcasters as well, right? I mean, you must get asked all the time working as an anchor for ESPN Sports Center. I mean, you guys are the kind of the gold standard in sports broadcasting, and kids really want to know how you got there.
Well, I will promise you this, Steve. I will answer anything that you have, and I'm going to promise our listeners this. I want a deep dive into Super Bowl 25. I want to get more than just the what are your memories of the game. I want to walk through that with you, and I want to hear much more about the game, which to me is the best Super Bowl that I've ever watched. So we'll look forward to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, I don't remember too much about it, and I know I'm like a lot of the guys who played on that, and this might be the first answer to your question. I've never seen that game other than the time we played it. Never watched the film, never studied it, so there you go. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We start at noon tomorrow. Stick with us. We've got a bunch of guys coming on the show after practice, post-practice sound from all the players that are available to the Western New York media. You'll hear from them tomorrow here on One Bills Live, noon to 3. Kevin Connors, Steve Tasker, thanks for being with us, everybody. This has been Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.